Friday the 6th of March, Yud Adar, Parsha Zohar, the relevance to us, Rabbi Elio Grunfeld.
Tomorrow is Parsha Zohar. And the Shaila is, what does Parsha Zohar mean to us today? In those days, the Indian of Michias Amalek, if you found an Amaleki, you were meant to kill him out. But for today, we don't know who Amalek is. If we would, we still wouldn't be able to kill them. Is what is the parashas of Zohar Amalek, what's that meant to mean to us? And in order to understand that, we first have to go a little bit into the Indian of Purim and understand what Purim is about. There's a fascinating medrash. The medrash says, the medrash Shachar Toiv, Kol HaMoyedim Asidim Libotl, La'osid Lavoi, all the Moyedim, all the Yom Toivim won't be around. There'll be no Pesach, there'll be no Shavuos, there'll be no Sukkot, they all won't be there. Chutz mi Purim. The only Yom Tov which will be around La'osid Lavoi is the one of Purim. And obviously it's something which we have to understand. Number one, why is there Sira? Why can it not be that we're going to have other Yom Tovim La'osid Lavoi? And then, if the other Yom Tovim can't be La'osid Lavoi, we have to understand, how is it that Purim will survive? Mimonoshuch. If there are no Yom Tovim, there shouldn't be any. Why is it that all the Moedim are seemingly bottle, and Purim is the only one which is going to be La'osid Lavoi? Wherever it is, the Indian, wherever the Indian is. Also, we have to understand something else. Why is it that Purim is the Yemishta v'Simcha? It's an Indian from Simcha. Mishenichnes Adon Marbin v'Simcha. Why is it that Purim has the Indian of Simcha? Is it because we were saved? Chanukah we were also saved. At Kriyas Yam Suf we were also saved. And there's no special Indian of Simcha then. So what is this Indian Miuchad that Purim has that's an Indian of Simcha? And another interesting point as well. It says in Svarim that the day of Purim is a Murid to get Eis Tefillah. A person who davens, it's Eis Rotzim, someone davens Elech on Purim, the Boin Shem listens to his Tefillah. So what's the Indian of Simcha on Tefillah on Purim? And why is Purim particularly a Yom Tefillah and Eis Rotzim, the Boin Shem listens to his Tefillah? We're going to say tonight, we say every Friday night, we say the following Pasuk. Boyu nishtachave nichra nivracho lifnei Hashem elekeinu. And there are three expressions there. Nishtachave nichra nivracho lifnei Hashem elekeinu. The author of Luchun Rananu is Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash says the following. These three lishrinis of nishtachave nichra nivracho are meramas to the three tefillahs that every Yid says every day. Shachris Mincha Maariv. And this Medrash holds that whereas Avraham Avinu was the one who was misakin that there is such a thing as Tfilat Shachrif, Yitzchok was misakin such a musug from Mincha, and Yaakov was misakin Mariv, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was misakin that every Yid should daven three times a day. And the Medrash goes on to explain why did Moshe Rabbeinu feel it necessary that Klal Yisrael should daven three times. And the Medrash says as follows. Because Moshe Rabbeinu foresaw future. He foresaw the time that there's going to be a Churban Bayis, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, and then Klal Yisrael will be unable to bring Bikurim. And that worried him. How are Klal Yisrael going to survive without Bikurim? And therefore he was misaken that three times every single day a Yid has to daven. And the obvious question is, number one, what's the connection between Bikurim and Tefillah? And number two, what was so miyuchad about Bikurim that once of your experience could only be recaptured when a Yid davened three times every single day in the year? And in order to understand that, we first have to understand the Gemara, Pashto Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos asks the Stira in the words of David HaMelech. In one Pasuk, the Pasuk says, HaShomayim Shomayim Lashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam kept Shomayim for himself. But V'Ha'aretz, the land, this world, not an Ibn Adam, he gave to mankind to do what he needs to do. That's one Pasuk. And there is another Pasuk. Lashem Ha'aretz Umaloyah. That the earth belongs to Ribbono Shel Olam. Mimonoshuch. Is it Lashem Ha'aretz Umaloyah? To HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Aretz? Or no? HaShomayim Shomayim Lashem, but V'Ha'aretz not an Ibn Adam. Is it not on the Adam or the Lashem? As we said, the Gemara is Stir and Brachos. And the Gemara says there's no Stir at all. Kan lifnei habracha, v'kan la'ach habracha. One pasuk is talking about a person who eats without making a bracha, and the other is talking about someone who does make a bracha. And the pshat as follows. If a person takes a fruit, or any food, whatever it is, and he eats it without making a bracha, he forgets about the Ribbono Shel Olam. To him, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, La Hashem Ha'aretz Malaya. The earth is mine. I give you no permission to use what is mine. But if someone takes that food, and he makes a bracha on it, he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, which the Mefarshim explained to mean, you Ribbono Shel Olam, are the Mekor of all bracha. It's all from you. To such a person, Ribbono Shel Olam says, V'ha'aretz Nosan Levnei Adam. To you, I allow you to have an offer from my world. Now let's think about this person who's bringing Bikurim. For many, many weeks and months, he sweated and toiled. First he had to plow his field, then he had to go and he had to sow it, and then turn over the earth again, and his orchards, he had to plant the trees, he had to prune them, he had to make sure everything's okay. For days, weeks, months, he's out there in the cold, in the rain, in the snow, whatever the weather, and he's putting tremendous effort into producing this crop or the fruits of the trees. And then finally, after all those months, he comes to the very, very first fruits of his labor, literally. The first fruits come out. What is the natural feeling of a person at that point? Wow! Look what I produced! Me and nature! We produced this fruit! It was worth our effort! Look what I managed to do here! But instead of that, the person takes those very first fruits and he goes into the Beis HaMikdash and he brings it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And not only that, the halacha is every single time a person goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he has to do Heshtach Avoya. But the only time where it says Mufurash in the Torah Vishtach Avisa, the one and only time, is Ba'avos Bikurim. So this person comes into the Beis HaMikdash and he does Heshtach Avoya, which is prostrating himself flat out on the ground. He's mevatel himself completely. I am nothing. And he says to Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know I put in the effort. I know I'm the one who worked hard here, but I realize that ultimately Ein Oid Milvadoi, that if not for your Rotsum, if not for your input, there'd be nothing here. That there is no such thing as nature. Why was I able to produce what I produced? It's only because you willed it. That type of thing is a complete bittle in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Medrash says that after a person had brought Bikurim, he was able to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam whatever he wanted, and the Ribbono Shel Olam listened to him. Nepshat Poshut. Number one, a person who has mevatel himself completely, he realizes that Ein Oid Mevadoi, he makes himself as if he's nothing, that brings Dveikus to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that brings you close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to listen to your tefillah. But also, one of the big reasons why when we daven, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't listen to us, the Pasuk says, Korev Hashem l'chol korov. The Ribbono Shel Olam is close to anyone who calls out to him, but there's one condition. L'chol asher yikra'uhu ve'emes. It's not just good enough to intellectually understand that I need to come on to the Ribbono Shel Olam. One has to really feel, without the Ribbono Shel Olam, I have nothing. I am completely dependent on the Bira Olam. When a person has a completely realization that he completely depends on the Ribbono Shel Olam, then he begs from his heart. And when he begs from his heart, the Ribbono Shel Olam listens. So when a person comes and he brings those fruits, he's mevatel himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and loichi offer ve'efer, hishtach avoya, I'm worth nothing. Then he realizes everything is tolerant to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He davens me'um kedeliba, and the Ribbono Shel Olam answers his tefillos. That is a yid. A yid understands and appreciates that this world is run by the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no such thing as teva, aus kum von Eibishter. Amalek is the exact opposite. Shittas Amalek is, Rechmon Litzvan, there's no Ribbono Shel Olam. There's nature, natural causes. The Pasuk says, if you think about it, B'shas kris yamsuf, the Ribbono Shel Olam spits to the yamsuf, saves Klal Yisrael, and brings it crashing down the midstream and destroys them. And the Pasuk tells us, The whole world heard about this and they trembled. Chil achaz yishvich and ploches. Od nevalelu fe edim eli moiv chazei morad the moiv chol yishvich anoan. Tipar aleim emos vafachad. The world was petrified from the ribuyim shloilom. And then, not long later, Amalek come and they dare to fight with Klal Yisrael. How can that be? And the answer is the prophet tells us. Asher korcho baderech. Shittas Amalek is korcho meloshen mikra. What's happening? Amalek doesn't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. It doesn't believe that the powers who control everything. Mikra, nature. It might be a very strange quirk of nature, but it's nothing more than nature. And so therefore what stopped me from going against Klal Yisrael? And so Amalek came and started out with Klal Yisrael. That is the opposite. And we find that again by Haman. If we think about it, it's the Pele Dikazach. Haman's there in the Megillah. He's reached the absolute pinnacle of his success. He's rich, he's famous, he has power. He's friends with the king. Esther Hamalka invites only him and the king and no one else. And he goes to that party and he's feeling good. And he comes out and he sees Mordechai. And Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yizoy, he doesn't move. He doesn't care about him. And his mamush, Haman is mamush, he's enraged. And he goes home and he has his whole eitzah and he sets up the tree. And he goes to the king to ask for permission. May I hang Mordechai? And then the king says to him, there is a certain gentleman who I wish to honor. What do you suggest? What should I do? And the apostle tells us. He starts piling on the covered. He thinks he's talking about himself. And he puts on the royal robe and the crown and the horse. And he doesn't realize with every single word which he's trying to honor himself, he's causing himself a bizoyan. Because every single thing he's going to have to do to his mortal enemy, Mordechai. And then the king says, excellent. Good idea. Go ahead and do it to your enemy Mordechai. And he goes, the Chazal said, the Pasuk says, he goes out, and his mavuza, and his daughter comes and empties that pail down on his head, and he's wet, and he's dirty, and he comes home, and he calls together his whole family. Now anyone in his right mind would have thought, what's going on here? I'm trying to push Mordechai down, and here, with my own hands, I put him up. Anyone should begin to realize, you better be careful here. The tables are turning. But what did Haman say? Vaisapa Haman Zeresh Ishtoi L'chol Ayavov Eif Kol Asher Korohu Mikra. Zeresh said to him, after that Zeresh said to him, don't be such a fool. Imi Zera HaYehudim, you've had it. But that's not what Haman said. Asher Korohu Mikra. Yeah, things like that happen. That is Shittas Amalek. Whereas Klal Yisrael agrees, there is nothing besides the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no such thing as Mikra and Teva. Amalek believe there is Teva. There's Mikra. There's no Ribbono Shel Olam. And as long as Klal Yisrael are strong and believe with full emunah that Ein Oiz Mivadoi, then Amalek can have no achiza, can't have anything, can't control them at all. It's only when Klal Yisrael weaken in the understanding of Ein Oiz Mivadoi, only then can Amalek come. There's a famous Rashi. The parasha before Vayova Amalek is the parasha when Klal Yisrael complained there was no water, and the pasuk says they called that place Mas Meriba, and the pasuk says because they said Hayesh Hashem Berkirbeinu Im Oyin, and the next parasha is Vayova Amalek. Says Rashi, there's a smichas haparashis here, and Rashi explains. It was only because Klal Yisrael said those words, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Oyin, that is why Amalek were able to come and fight against Klal Yisrael. And Rashi brings this famous moshul of a father who's going on a journey with his child, and he's worried about that child, and he carries him on the shoulders. And he walks along, and suddenly this big lion comes to take that child, and he fights off that lion. And then bandits come to kidnap that child, and he fights those bandits. And they continue down the road, and a person's come towards them, and the child goes to this person, he calls down from the shoulder, he says to this person, excuse me, have you seen my father? And his father sees that, he's been the one who's protecting him, he throws him off the shoulder, and the lion comes. Says Rashi, does this thought here also. As long as Klal Yisrael realizes, Ein Oiz Mivadoi, Amalek can't do anything. But the minute you say, Yesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Oyin, you're moving over to Shittas Amalek. You're saying, I can't see the Ribbono Shel Olam in everyday life. there is such a thing that things happen without the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hayesh Hashem b'kibeinu amoyim shittas Amalek. Then vayovei Amalek, Amalek will come and fight Klal Yisrael. And what was the tickle? What was the answer? So Moshe Rabbeinu calls Yeshua. B'chal on Anoshim, get those people together. Say Lochim Amalek, go and fight Amalek. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, I will go to the top of that mountain and I will stretch up my hands to Shamayim. Says the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, V'chi yodov shal Moshe, oisif mechama, shayifis mechama. Can the hands of Moshe have the ability to determine the outcome of the war against Amalek? Says the Mishnah, El Eloi Maloch. She calls the man she saw Mistaklim Kapamalo. When they looked up there, they saw Moshe Rabbeinu, they saw his hand. The eyes went upwards towards Shamayim. Mishabdim es libam laviyam sheba Shamayim. Then they were mishabed their hearts to Ribbono Shel Olam, even asking them they won. The tikkun to get out of Amalek's clutches is understanding in Eid Mavadi. Mishabdim es libam laviyam sheba Shamayim. And then history repeated itself a few hundred years later. King Ahasuerus made a suda and invites all the citizens of Shushan to come. And Mordechai stands up and he says, that Torah dictates that a Yid should not go. But they went. And Rabbi Gedalia Shon is safe, explains, Pasha, why did they go? If we think about it, the king invites every single citizen of Shushan. And everyone turns up. And Noshim Vatap, besides for the Jews. What statement is that? Naturally, if you think of natural events, that's terrible. The repercussions from that, the Jews don't care, they're not loyal, etc., etc. If you work up the natural ways, natural events, one has to go to that party. But then, Mordechai stands up, and he says, no, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want you to go. Are you worried about what's going to happen? The political outflow from that? You worried about it? Don't worry. Because the same Ribbono Shel Olam who tells you not to go is the one who controls all that. So what do you have to be worried about? The Klal Yisrael did go to the party. They didn't listen to Mordechai. They put themselves under the shlita of natural events. Ah, you're thinking Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't control everything. There's another thing besides the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then Haman rises to power. And again, what's the tikkun? The peredik is asked. Throughout our history, we find in the Tanoim, whenever it was, whenever there was a Tzorah, whenever there was something of Gzeir against Klal Yisrael. So what did they do? Bribery. They brought together a whole lot of presents and money, and they went to the king and they gave him the presents, and they called all types of different people that had the ear of the king and asked him to go to see the path of the king. Here we don't find that at all. B'Shas Purim, there was no presents, there was no shtadlus. Even Esther, she didn't go through the normal channels. She said to herself, any guy who goes to the king without being called will be killed. And she still went. Through normal diplomatic channels, that's not the way to go. And not only that, the Gaon points out, she fasted 3 days before going. Her only connection to the king was the fact that she's beautiful. And she goes after 3 days. She was weak. The Gemara says, she was so weak that her head was dropping. She couldn't hold herself straight and a malach had to come and help her. Is that the way to go to the king? Naturally? But the answer is poshut. That was the tikkun. If we want to overcome Amalek, we have to realize, Einon Rishon Elavim Shva Shamayim. We have no other choice. The only Eitzah is Tfilah, Tzim, Bechi, Misbeh, Ribbono Shel Olam. There is nothing besides for you. That is the only way Klal Yisrael is going to get across Amalek. And when they did that, they passed for 3 days. And the pasuk says, Vatalbish Esther Malchus. On the third day, Esther Talvish Malchus, Satan Gomorrah, Rashi brings it, it means she had Ruach HaKodesh. She felt that the Ribbono Shel Olam was with her. She realized that the Ribbono Shel Olam was with me. Now I can go and approach Ahasuerus. Now we have a chance to smash down Amalek. And she starts to go. And she comes past the base Tzlom and Avodah Zarah. And the Ribbono Shel Olam's Shechina disappears. And she says, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtoni. How am I going to manage without you? With my only status, I don't stand a chance. We can only come on to you. And then she stands in front of the king. Like we mentioned before, she's weak. And she looks horrible. And she can't hold her head up. And Ahasuerus had no intentions of lifting up that scepter. Al pi derech hateva, it was all over. It was over for Esther. She would be killed. It's over for Klal Yisrael. The story's finished. Al pi derech hateva. And exactly at that point, three malachim appear. One picks up Ahasuerus' scepter. One puts up a head. The other one brings the chutzal chain on top of Esther. And then the tables turn upside down. And the beginning of the destruction of Amalek begins. The more Klai Yisrael believe in their own power, Pichlitz and Yodi, Amalek have power against them. When they believe in Oidim Avadai, only the Rebbein Shayom, that's when we can eradicate Amalek. And that's Pshat, the Gemara Chulin. The famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Homon Natarim Inayin. Where is there remez for Homon in the Torah? Says the Pasuk of the Gemara. The Pasuk says a time after Adam and Rishon have eaten from the Eitz Hadas he shouldn't have. And the Shpoch came to him and taxed him about it. And the Rebbein Shem said to him, did you eat from this tree where I said you're not allowed to eat? Hamin ha'et is the same letters as Haman. What's the connection? Hamin ha'et is there, that's the remnant for Haman. And the Gemara continues, Esther min ha'tera minayin. Where do we see Esther in the Torah, said the Gemara? Va'anoichi haster after ponai vayimhu. The Pshat as follows. When Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden, there was no doubts. It was clear that everything is the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no such thing as Teva. No one had anything, any idea of the Chlal that there's anything besides the Ribbono Shel Olam. It was only after Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, that's what gave man the ability to start denying the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the time he was thrown out of Gan Eden. He went to the Olam, to this world, where there's such a thing as Teva. And when one person can think that Teva is something, it was the eating of the tree which gave birth to Shittas Amalek, that there can be something else besides the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hamin ha'itza zeh, hom naturim inayin. Echtem naturim inayin, v'alichi asta asta pana bayim ahu. Says the Vilna Gaon, the chiddush of the Yom Tov of Purim, of the nest of Purim is, Klal Yisrael had many nisim in the history, but all those nisim took place at the time when we saw the Ribbono Shel Olam, whether Tashrat Hashchina, Bizman HaMikdosh, when Klal Yisrael went Eretz Yisrael. The Chiddush of Purim is that even when Klal Yisrael are in Golos, the Ribbono Shel Olam is still looking after us. We might not see him. We might not see that the Ribbono Shel Olam is there, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking after us exactly in the same way as he was Bizman HaBayis. The only difference is, this is behest upon him. This, we don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam. It looks as if the natural causes are happening. It looks as if things are happening, but the truth is it's only Ribbono Shel Olam, only behest upon him, only behest upon him. That is the limit of Megillah. The limit of Megillah is to realize and appreciate, even if we don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam, Esther our Torah Minayim, he's there watching our every move. And that's why Chazal say, the Ribbono Shel Olam's name is not mentioned once in the whole Megillah. Nevertheless, statements for him, every time it says the word HaMelech, behind the scenes it means the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Reb Dessler points out the Tosha thing. In order for this nest to happen, three separate chains of events had to come together on one night to bring out the Gula of Klal Yisrael. First there was a party which Achshverosh made, and Vashti disobeyed his orders, and therefore naturally Achshverosh got her killed. And therefore, naturally, he needed a new queen. And therefore, he chose Esther to look beautiful. And then Esther made this party. And the time between these two parties came about. Balailahu nododoshnat ha-melech. One chain of events. And there was another chain of events. Two servants of the king plotting against him. Mordechai happens to overhear. And so naturally, he tells Esther. And naturally, Esther tells Achashverosh, and naturally Achashverosh kills them, and it's written into a book. And pinked one night, which happens to be that Balailahu, Achashverosh can't sleep, he asks for his book of Zichronis, wow, and pinked that, queried out, this member that Mordechai hasn't been rewarded. Another event, which just happened to take place on that night. And then suddenly a third thing, give him Achashverosh a Haman. Haman's powerful, he's got everything in the world, he's the best mate with the king and queen. He sees Mordechai, he wants to kill Mordechai. And then he deals the gallows. He wants to come and get permission from the king. And he just happens to turn out at the same time, Balailahu. Three seemingly unconnected chain of events, which the Ribbono Shel Olam made sure happened from years and years before, starting 9 years before, to bring around the Gula of Klal Yisrael. That's the Anoichi Asta Aster. The Ribbono Shel Olam is there. He's controlling everything. We might not see it. There's a fundamental difference between Pesach and Purim. In Pesach we see that the Ribbono Shel Olam has the kriach to break nature. Purim tells us that there is no such thing as nature. We all know the story of Rav Chinan ben Doisa, when one Erev Shabbos his daughter came over to him and she said, "Daddy, I've got no oil to light. What should we do for the Shabbos licht?" So Rav Chinan ben Doisa says, "Don't worry. Take a bit of vinegar and light it. Mi sha'oima l'shem et shiyadlik, yoima l'chim et shiyadlik." The same Ribbono Shel Olam who tells the oil to burn is the one who will make the vinegar burn as well. Now if you and me will try that, it's not going to work. And besides, in Simcha Lames, what's going on here? And the answer is, why is the Ribbono Shel Olam not making this for us? And the answer is because we're in this world of Hefter, so we should be able to have choices to choose between good and bad. If the Ribbono Shel Olam would do Nisim the whole time, we would see him so clearly, we wouldn't have the ability of having Bechir to Boicha Bara. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa and his daughter had reached such a high madriga that to them there was no such thing as Teba. When they saw oil burning, to them it was exactly the same ness as seeing vinegar burning. And when vinegar burns, they're not mispoil. Big deal. What's the difference between oil and vinegar? To such a person, the Ribbono Shel Olam could do a ness. He's not revealing himself anymore. He's not taking away the Bechira anymore by making the vinegar burn than the oil burn. La'ofsed lovoi, we're all going to be in that matter. We're going to be like Adam Arishu Kodem Achet, where everything's going to be clear. It'll be absolutely crystal clear that there is no such thing as Teva, as Ein Edom Avadoi. Doesn't make sense in those days to make a Yom Tov or Kris Yom Tov? That what? The Ribbono Shel Olam split the Yom Tov? The fact that the Yom Tov there in the first place is no less of an S than the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam split the Yom Tov. It won't make sense La'osad Lovay to celebrate the other Yom Tovim, because there is no such thing as Teva. So what are you making a fuss about? The Ribbono Shel Olam control Teva? It's only Purim, where the Yisod of Purim is that there is no such thing as Teva. As Ein Odom Avadai, every single thing is the Ribbono Shel Olam and only the Ribbono Shel Olam. Purim fits very nicely in the Osad Lovay. It's beautiful, why not? That can still survive. In Ilchus Tzadikim, there's no Shaar Bitochon. He's got Shaar Emet, Shaar Sheker. There's no Shaar Bitochon. But in Shaar HaSimcha, he talks about Bitochon, Bitochon, Bitochon. The reason why people are not Bitsimcha is because they have daigas. What should I do here? What's going to happen there? I don't know what's going to be. That is what stops a person Simcha. A person who has absolute Bitochon, he realizes that there is nothing besides the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nothing can happen to me unless the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it, and the Ribbono Shel Olam loves me. And no one can harm me besides with the Ratzon Ribbono Shel Olam. Such a person is naturally besimcha, because he has no daigas. And we say Mishenichnas Adam Marbin besimcha. When we say Purim is a Yom Simcha, it's not pshat, it's something else, a new thing, but a natural outgrowth. Someone who learns the limud of Purim well. Someone understands, appreciates, Ein Odom Avadai, there is nothing of nature. The Ribbono Shel Olam controls everything. Nothing can happen to me. He's automatically besimcha. That is a mitzvah. It's a natural outgrowth. And that's why it's a moedik yom tefillah. Exactly the same as Bikurim. When a person realizes nothing besides the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's mevatel himself to the Eibishter. He understands I have to come unto Ribbono Shel Olam for everything. Then he davens me'umka deliba. He realizes he has to come to Ribbono Shel Olam, and then his tefillahs are listened. That's why it's a is tefillah. If you think about it, probably today, more than most of our history as Yiddish people, the meaning of Mechias Amalek applies to us. In previous generations, or most previous generations, even the Goyim were believers. They believed. They believed in what they believed, the other religions. Even the Avodah Zarah believed in a higher power. That is not Shittas Amalek. Shittas Amalek is atheism, Darwinism, Big Bang. That's Shittas Amalek. That there is no higher power. That there is something that just hangs out by itself, Mikra. And that's today's society. Today's society is Shittas Amalek. And when we say Timche es Zeich Amalek, we don't just mean killing out Amalek, but Timche es Zeicher Amalek means getting rid of Shittas Amalek. It means not allowing the outside influences to infiltrate in ourselves. It means we ourselves as people getting rid of our feelings. Who can say honestly with ourselves that we believe in our hearts, not just intellectually, but we lead our lives with understanding as Ein Id Mavadei, I do nothing, everything comes from the Ribono Shel Olam, that's the bit of Amalek which is inside each of us. The Timche es Zecher Amalek means get rid of the shittas Amalek from the world and from within ourselves. And that way we can be Zecher Mit Hashem to Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehevi Amein Amein.